The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, November 18th, 2018.
Morning, church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, our Christ, and welcome on this first Sunday of real winter. Today is the day the Lord has made. May our hearts rejoice and may we be glad. May our lives show it and may we live it. For indeed, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad. Let us pray. Gracious, loving, and merciful God, we thank you for love, grace, mercy, peace, and presence. We thank you that we can come together to fellowship, to worship, to call upon your name, to humble ourselves in prayer, to lift our voices in praise, to meditate upon your word, to fellowship one with another, and to share this time and place as your children. We would ask now that you would bless our time together, opening our hearts that we may worship you now in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of birth pangs." The word of God for the people of God.
We've been doing a discourse on Jesus in the temple area, and this is really the last discourse before the Last Supper and the crucifixion and all of the pain and sorrow that comes in the Gospels. Inevitably at the end time for Christ. But we arrive at chapter 13 now, and a lot of people hear this text and they go, "Oh my," with a big feeling of dread, and it has that element to it. But I'm amazed at, when we were cleaning out stuff, I remembered we came across the Left Behind series. How many remember the Left Behind series with LaHaye and Jenkins and its popularity, and it spawned the TV movies and things like that, and it was very popular, and we call it eschatology, the study of end times. And in the study of end times, I find that people are just engrossed in it. They are really interested in how's it going to end. Myself, I really don't want to know that. I know it will, but for me, I'm not curious about how I'm going to go out. It's okay. God surprised me. Just be merciful. That's my prayer. But a lot of people are worried and thinking about what is the signs of the end of the times and how we know when that second coming of Christ is getting nearer. And these disciples, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in a minute. But if you want to kind of look at that and you want to study that, I invite you to finish the 13th chapter of Mark. We call it the little apocalypse. Go here before you try to get to Revelation. As a matter of fact, don't go to Revelation for end time stuff anyway. It's just going to confuse you and make things fuzzy, cloudy, and not be sure of. But go into the 13th chapter of Mark and the other places in the Gospels where Jesus himself is talking plainly to his disciples, and you'll find it there. Now, what's going on here? We've had Jesus last week, the widow and the offering, and how he said, "Beware the scribes, for they devour the widows' homes." And we hear this indictment against the church and what the church should be doing that the church isn't doing. And now we arrive at this. They're leaving church. You know, they're on their way out. And you really don't get a sense of this. There's some humor in this passage that we gloss over. We never even see it. But then there's some grandiose in the Greek that we don't get into English. So let me give just a touch of background. This is temple number 2. Solomon's temple was destroyed in about 586 B.C. This temple was rebuilt by Herod, and the rebuilding of this temple started around 100 B.C. And it gets finished just about the time of Christ in that era, in that period. It's a big building. It took a long time, a lot of work, a lot of money, a lot of resources. But this is a grand temple. It must have even still, for a temple, for the size, smelt relatively new. And they were amazed. And this disciple coming out, he says, "Whoa, teacher, look at these huge stones." In other words, look at this magnificent, beautiful building, this temple. For this temple stood as a hope for Israel. The temple was the place where God resided. It was a symbol of God's choosing the Jewish people, the Israelites, and blessing them with his presence and his covenant. And they well remember, these disciples, that the first one got torn down because of their unfaithfulness. But they're amazed at it. And here comes the humor. This disciple has just said to Jesus, "Teacher, Jesus, do you see all of this?" And Jesus says to him, "Do you see these stones?" I mean, can you not laugh at that? Come on. I mean, is it not humorous? He just said to Jesus, "Look at them." And Jesus says, "Do you see them?" Well, maybe you get the point that it isn't humor. That Jesus is really saying, "Do you really see this temple? Do you really see what's going on here? Do you really see? We just came out of there. And I just told you to beware of the Sadducees. Beware that they devour widows' homes. I've just told you that they're in their fake. They're in their pomp and circumstance. They always say loud prayers because they want to be heard, not because they matter. It's a hollow sepulchre full of dry washed bones." And Jesus says next, "Let me tell you, not one stone will be left upon another." He just told that disciple and the ones listening, God's going to judge it. And it's going to fall. Hearken back to 586. Now we know the history, don't we? In 70 AD, the Romans destroyed that temple. And not one stone is upon another today. All that's left is one of the foundation walls that they call the Wailing Wall. And the only reason the Romans left it is that's where they executed the high priest and the scribes and the Pharisees, by crucifying them. And today the Jewish people go to that wall, roll up scrolls of prayers, and they stick them in the holes of the wall that are left from the iron spikes the Roman drove in to crucify the priest. And they remember the bitterness of the loss of that temple for this disobedience. This need not have been the case the first time. It need not have been the case the second time. But they rejected the Messiah. They rejected Christ, the one sent first to the lost house of Israel. And Jesus says to his disciples, look at these mighty stones. I tell you, they will all be torn down. And he continues his journey and he goes over to the Mount of Olives and it's just across maybe a quarter mile from the temple. Temple is in view and his disciples come and they say, we need to know when this is going to happen. We need to know how this is going to happen and we need to know why this is going to happen. They never do ask why. They never do ask how. But they do ask when. They do ask when. Next Sunday, we're going to look a little bit closer at some other things. But the first Sunday in December begins what season for us as Christians? Advent. What is Advent for us as Christians? The beginning of, come on, my goodness. We're going to decorate the church. We're going to put a Christmas tree up over here. We're going to put pretty things in here and wreaths up here and all that stuff. It's the beginning of Advent. What is Advent? Come on, this is a test of Christianity 101. I have done a horrible job. I thought I did this every year. We're waiting for what? For Jesus to come again. How many of us think it's about celebrating the birth of Jesus? Nah. It's about the anticipation of the second coming of Christ. That's the next great event. Yes, we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus, and we're going to talk about the manger and the baby and the virgin birth. We're going to talk about Mary. We're going to talk about Elizabeth. We're going to talk about John the Baptist. We're going to do all that stuff, and we're going to remember. We're going to reflect. But Advent is about the second coming of Christ. And I need to tell you, as wonderful as Christmas is, and it really bothers me, I'm going to go out on a limb just a little bit. It bothers me that the world doesn't want to talk about Christmas being a Jesus holiday, but if it wasn't Jesus, there wouldn't be Christmas. And if you don't want Jesus, then don't take the time off with pay. Stay at work. You know, if you're not going to honor Christ in it, then don't take advantage of it. Have some integrity. You know, that's the way I see it. Anyway, that's my soapbox for today. Maybe. We'll see. I ain't done. If you watch the Sunday school class, you know I ain't done. So now we've got this Advent thing, but I need to share with you, we have an empty cross in here, and that means we serve who? A resurrected Christ. We remember the crucifixion, we remember the sacrifice, but our cross is empty. Folks, I got news for you. If there hadn't have been a cross, if there hadn't have been a death, and there hadn't have been a resurrection, then this would have just been another Jewish boy born in a barn out of wedlock. Would have been nothing significant to it. It would have just been another one of those things that happened. But the reality is, he was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. He did live. He healed the blind. He raised the dead. He caused the lame to walk. And he gave his life on a cross for us. And he rose again. The next Advent is the coming of Christ. And we hold it in tension with the birth of Christ, as we should. They go together. The birth and the death. And the next coming. And Jesus says to his disciples, he really doesn't give them an answer yet. Now, if you'll keep reading down about verse 14, he'll get to the answer. But he gets to something even bigger than that. He says to them, you need to get ready. There are some bad things going to go down. And you're to underline some of these things, and I'm going to try to get these glasses down here long enough to go over them with you. You know, that's kind of sad, isn't it? They broke right here. And Trinity said, where's the duct tape? And I said, there's not enough. I'd have one that had a patch on it. And this is the good one. I need to keep it working. Jesus tells us, When will this be? And what will be the sign of these things that are about to be accomplished? Verse 5, then Jesus began to say to them, beware that no one leads you astray. First and foremost, stay faithful. First and foremost, stay close to the truth. First and foremost, discern the truth. And church, I tell you this morning, people handle the truth lightly today and very loosely today. And sometimes you even come across real truth. So if you're going to study and be true, you better get in here. And you better get in here on a regular basis. Well, Pastor, I don't understand what I read. Then read it until you understand it. It'll come. Pray before you start. Ask the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we don't ask. We don't receive because we don't ask. Ask. Come to Bible studies. Come to Sunday school classes. Tune us in on social media. At least you'll hear a little something about it. Many will come in my name and say, I am he. In other words, there'll be many people who says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm life, I am the Savior, I'm the Messiah. Many will come and say that, and they will lead many astray. Have you noticed the rise of cults and fake religions in the world today? Pastor, what's a fake religion? According to us in Christianity, it's anything other than following Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. That's the standard. John 14:6 sets the bar. I don't say it. The Bible says it. Jesus said it. The rest of them, it's not multiple choice, folks. He didn't buffet religion, but the world has taught universalism, that everybody's all right and everybody's going, everybody's getting in. But that ain't what this book teaches. This is not what it teaches. We've watered it down so long that it's not hardly wet. It's waterlogged. It's weakened. And we wonder why the world's going to heck in a handbasket around us. We wonder why people have lost hope. We wonder why suicide rates are climbing through the wall, out through the ceiling. We wonder why people feel frustrated, aggravated. We wonder where it's going. Now, am I wrong? Does anybody here think about these things? I mean, I might be totally off. I might be the only one that worries about stuff. Well, I don't necessarily worry about it, but I'm concerned. Man, I've got news for you. I sit and watch TV, and I watch a little bit of news, and I go in the bedroom and pray for an hour. Man, is that depressing. I mean, this vote counting thing in Florida, if you can't see corruption and crookedness in that, you're blind as a bat. And I'm not talking politics. I'm talking about incompetence. I'm talking about integrity. I'm talking about truth. It's all manipulated in the world around us today to get what they want. It's back to universalism. You see, universalism teaches that everybody's okay and I'm my own God. I don't need a Jesus. I don't need a Muhammad. I don't need that stuff. It comes out of Marxism. Anybody familiar with Marxism? Marxism taught that religion is what? The opium of the masses. It's what the world uses to keep people in control. And if you want real freedom, then you got to shake off religion. And he encourages you to embrace something else that's rising in our culture today. Do you remember what he said to embrace? Come on. Greg, do you remember? Communism, we call it socialism now. Socialism. Well, Pastor, you're getting political, you bet. It's time somebody rung a bell. It's time we got down where it's at. Folks, if we got a choice, history, biblical history shows that the people who turn their back on God suffer the judgment of God. See what he says. If these glasses will just stay on. If not, somebody will have to read it for me. Verse 5, then Jesus began to say to them, beware that no one leads you astray, false teaching, lies, deceptions. Many will come in my name and say, I am he. In other words, there will be many say, I'm the way, follow me. And they will lead many astray. There are many following after false idols and doctrines in the world today. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. This must take place. Mark writes this in about 60. There've been a few wars since then, hadn't there? There's been a few. He said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. When you hear of wars, they must take place, but the end is not to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines. There have been all of those, haven't they? This is but the beginning of birth pains. I wish Ed Ford was here because I'd ask him something. You know what I'd ask him? I'd ask Ed? Or no, let me say this. Ed would ask me something. What would Ed ask me? Where's the good news? Oh, preacher, you've got all this doom and gloom on the table. Are you going to let us up or just keep us beat down there? You know what it is? Folks, I got news for you. How many of you have ever remodeled your house? Anybody? How fun's that? When you went to remodel, let me ask you something. Was it ever as easy as you thought? Did you run into more than you thought? Did it ever cost less than what you thought? It never does it? How many of you have just thought about it for a minute? There is no way that we can have something new, bring something new, change something without changing the old, can we? You can have a piece of desert land out here. You can have 100 acres, but if you want to build a house on it, what you got to do? You got to tear up the old, don't you? You got to tear up what's there in order to get the new place built, don't you? If you want a new bathroom, what do you got to do with the old one? Quit using it? Yeah, it has to go away, doesn't it? In order to have something new, you got to give away with the old. Folks, these things did not have to happen to Israel then in 586, in 70, and they don't have to happen in the world today. We've got the same choices that they had then. And that's to serve God with our whole heart. We learned that with the first Sadducee incident, didn't we? And the heart of it all is to do what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. And the second is like unto the first, that we love our neighbor as ourselves. It talks about God first instead of God when it's convenient. You see, in order for us to have hope and to have something new, we have to be willing to let go of something old. One of the worst wedding traditions that I think they've got is that you have to bring something old to the wedding. I thought you should bring new. I get to see it, you know, and I do it, and I get the significance. But you're starting something new. For the Christian, what does that mean? What does it mean? It means leaving behind that stuff, doesn't it? It means shedding some of that stuff, doesn't it? I bet there's people here besides me this morning that need to leave some stuff behind. We probably need to forgive somebody that did us wrong. We probably need to let go of some expectations that were not met. We probably need to let go of some things for the old and the new to come in. As the temple fell and the smoke cleared and the Romans began to leave the siege area with those Jewish people fully under thumb again, the Christians began to write the Gospels, books of good news into what for those Jewish people was the most horrid nightmare they had ever experienced. And the writers of the gospel said to them, He is the Messiah. Hope isn't lost. Though the temple is destroyed, there is no nation known as Israel, and there would not be until 1952, about 1,500 years later. That those gospel writers wrote to those people. The early converts to Christianity were Jews. And it was right in Jerusalem that Christianity was born. And it was in Jerusalem, the place of the fall of one that the birth of the other took place. With a Christian, even the hardest of times need not dismay us. For God is able to give life where there wasn't any. New beginnings from the ruins of life. I tell people Christians are like the phoenix. We may burn to ashes, but we rise by grace of God. Paul writes that we are perplexed on every side, but never without hope. For our hope isn't in the world and its institutions, its stuff. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in God through Jesus Christ. Signs of the times, if you watch it, you know things aren't good. But sometimes you've got to do a little demolition in order to build something new. To take out the old, to put in the new. Let us stay faithful. And wherever God is calling us, and whatever place God is calling us to whatever ministry and mission God has called us to, every one of us. And let us not lose hope, but find hope eternal in Christ Jesus. So Ed, what is the good news? God is with us. Always with us. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. I know this message may be somewhat unsettling. I know this message may not be one of those get up and run to the pastor and say, I feel so good now. But you should. For God's still on the throne. His Son is still resurrected and seated at the right hand. Pain means new birth and new life. It's the beginning of something new. May we know that God has got us and the world around us and is at work. And for those who are called by His name, and those who trust in Him, hope springs eternal. Our gracious and loving God, may our hope and our trust be in You. May truly, truly, we go forth to serve You, wherever we may be, to not be disheartened by what we see, but to see it as an opportunity for growth. God never sees a sinner as a failure, but as an opportunity for forgiveness. So, Father, strengthen us in our vision. Strengthen us in our service. Let us do our part to live with integrity, to share Your love, grace, and mercy in the world around us. And may the world see Christ in us. Even when we make mistakes, let us own them and seek You out in truth. Hear our hearts and hear our prayers lifted this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now may God's grace and peace go with you into the world to serve Him as you serve each other. May truly the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.